Your favorite social media site, LinkedIn, is getting bigger and badder than ever. Both AT&T and Linux, super vulnerable. And Intel GPUs, they're shipping. Let's gain the hot news, everybody. I'm your Brett host. We're going to be going over the hottest tech news I can find on the internet while you enjoy your breakfast this Monday, April 1st, 2024. This is not an April Fool's episode. I got nothing fake in here for you, but we're back. Back at hot news. Hopefully we don't get taken down by YouTube this week again. My goodness, in case you don't know what I'm talking about, you missed your daily dose of hot news last week. It's because of a whole bunch of nonsense that went on between UFD Tech and the creator platform known as YouTube, and it has been since mostly resolved. I still got that Nintendo warning that I need to work off. But we're going to move forward into talking about how LinkedIn, again, not April Fool's, is now trying to become a more hip, edgier, one with the cool kids social media website, where it's now going to have vertical video feeds. This is a feature that LinkedIn has not officially announced. However, it does appear to be in beta testing, and it was confirmed. Users have been talking about it. The company says, yeah, we're trialing it. So in case you wanted to get your daily short or TikTok veracity of just hustle, bro, gotta grind culture mindset that you've always wanted, LinkedIn's gonna have that for you. This is not the first time LinkedIn's done something like this. They've had stories as well as several other things that they've done, and I don't really have much more to say. I wanted to start coming back to hot news on a little bit of a light, ridiculous note. But what's not ridiculous is the relationship that I've had with today's video sponsor, Silverstone, because they have been with our channel since the very beginning. You can see Silverstone Raven RVZ01 build guide was the first video we ever uploaded to YouTube, and now they're here being the first sponsor on our hot news back after an undeserved vacation. But while Silverstone's known for making great cases and power supplies, some of the best in the market, they also offer monitor arms, and they've been at it for over 10 years, which UFD Tech turns 10 years old in February of next year. Wild. Their first-gen monitor arms were very well received. Linus loved them very much, but now Silverstone has three new models that will meet more people's needs. They've got the Arm 13 as a single extended arm mount constructed with aluminum and steel with mechanical springs to allow for effortless articulations of monitors up to 32 inches. A dual arm version of this is called the Arm 25, and that's what I have right here. And if you put it like this, you look like the Doom Doodle guy from Doom. And both are highly affordable, especially compared to the original Silverstone arms. I'm actually going to be giving this one to my son for his birthday, because a dual monitor upgrade for him becoming a teenager is going to be fun. And then they have the Arm 14, available in black and a gorgeous all-white color, also constructed with that aluminum and steel, but utilizes a heavy-duty gas spring that allows it to support monitors up to 49 inches in case you want to get a big boy in there. That means whether you want to reclaim more desk space or adjust your monitors to be at optimal viewing height, Silverstone's got you covered. You can check them out at the link in the video description, whether that's the Arm 13, the Arm 14, or the Arm 25. You can't have this one, it's mine. Not mine anymore, it's being gifted to my son. Big thanks to Silverstone for sponsoring today's video, for being with the channel since the very beginning, and you guys should have Silverstone as part of your life as well. But maybe consider not having a company like AT&T as part of your life, because it's being revealed that they've had to reset passcodes for millions of customers because their data got breached and it got leaked on the dark web, and they have just had some vulnerabilities there. This is coming after TechCrunch alerted them. The news publication site TechCrunch said, hey, AT&T, it looks like there's some vulnerabilities in all of your stuff, to which AT&T went, oh yeah, I guess there is, and then they reset the passcodes on millions of people's different accounts. But this is coming after it was first reported that this hack took place all the way back in 2021. So not only does this affect current customers who are with AT&T having their passcodes reset, but this also affects a total of 73 million AT&T customers, whether that's current or in the past, because all of that data got stolen. And AT&T, at the time that it was reported that this breach had happened in 2021, said they had not suffered a breach, and that the hacker online did not appear to have come from their systems, and it's not yet known whether the data in those fields originated from AT&T or one of its vendors, and so far it does not have evidence of unauthorized access to its systems, resulting in exfiltration of the data set. Turns out all of that was wrong, and let me know if you were affected, if you had your AT&T account passcode reset over the weekend, if this is something that you're dealing with, especially when it comes to all of the identity theft stuff, because this is comprising a bunch of personal information for people who have been AT&T customers. Curious to hear what you have to say about that down below. But another thing that's affecting a lot of people is that Linux was hacked, sort of, Kinda, as much as Linux can be hacked, one of the compression tools that happens to be in a lot of different Linux versions had malicious code intentionally injected into it so that it would produce a backdoor to make it so that people would divulge information and they could steal all of it. The compression utility is known as XZUtils, and it's in different versions of Linux like Red Hat and Debian, and the updated version that did have the backdoor implemented did make its way into the most recent versions of a lot of these different Linux versions. But one of the funniest things about this is that it was completely discovered accidentally. One user noticed that his SSH was taking half a second longer to load than normal, and then found out that yes, there was a malicious backdoor put into XZUtils in some of these mainstream Linux releases. So it's being encouraged that you check what version of XZUtils you are using, because it appeared for a long time that that was a very trustworthy compression utility that was being baked in, but someone intentionally messed with it, put it in so that it got updated, and Linux can get viruses just like Macs can. At least that's the dream I had last night said. Apples can get viruses. Breaking down the full details of what Linux distributions have been affected or otherwise, you're just going to have to check for yourself. It's on the 5.61 version of XZUtils, which I've seen a lot of people reporting that they checked their version and they haven't updated in years, so they don't have the most recent one that actually had all these backdoors. But AT&T, Linux users, sorry, you're having a bad time. And I wonder what type of time Reese is having over on the South Africa place. That one, the place he lives.
Yo, welcome back to EFT Deals, bringing the hottest tech deals on the internet. Hope you guys had a lovely weekend. You're relaxed, rested, and ready for the week, and hopefully ready for some deals. Because starting off today, we have the Superflower LEDX Platinum SE 1000W 80 Plus Platinum fully modular power supply available in white for only $144.99 with the included promo code, making it $105 off and a great pickup if you're trying to stick to an all-white color scheme. But then next up, we have this LG Ultra Gear 27-inch 1440p 144Hz gaming monitor for only $209.99, making it $90 off. And then lastly, the ROG Ally, or Rougely as we like to call it, is going for only $299.99, making it $200 off and a nice $100 price cut over the usual price. Please remember that this is the Z1 version, not the Z1 Extreme, but for $299.99, it is a steal and a great way to get into the handheld game. And with that, the deals are done. You can find these and more linked in the video description down below. But until next time, I'm going to hand you off back to Brett for the rest of your hot news. Cheers.
Well, Reese, it turns out that China got a pretty good deal when it came to the numbing down of the RTX 4090. The RTX 4090D, or Dragon version, was released because of U.S. trade embargoes that you couldn't ship your highest-end graphics cards to China and other countries, and the 4090D was locked down. It had reduced cores, had reduced power consumption. It was just a worse card overall that NVIDIA was selling for the same price. But ASUS has come out and fixed all of that, because while originally the 4090D had no overclocking support, you can now overclock that if you want to. However, the problem was that even if you could overclock it, you couldn't get that much more power out of it. So ASUS released a 600-watt BIOS for their Strix 4090D model, so you can get essentially the same performance. Benchmarks are showing that it's roughly exactly the same to get the 4090D overclocked, and that'll give you nearly identical performance to just a regular 4090. So good news in case you bought a 4090D. You get what you paid for. And a lot of people aren't expected to pay for the PlayStation 5 Pro upgrade that's supposed to be launching later this fall, but Sony wants to entice you by letting you know that your games are going to be PS5 Pro enhanced in case they increase target resolutions for titles that run a fixed resolution or maximum resolution or a higher target frame rate, or they have better ray tracing effects. They're going to have a little sticker that says PS5 Pro enhanced, just like they did for the PS4 Pro way back when all of that happened. This is just some more details that are coming out, especially after the major leak of the PS5 Pro specs that happened about a week or 2 weeks ago. A lot of this appears to be substantiated. Get ready for that one, or don't. A lot of people don't necessarily want to be upgrading to the PS5 Pro, but I know a lot of people are excited about Intel's upcoming Battle Mage GPUs, and the details are they're starting to ship places. We don't know exactly where, but they are appearing in shipping manifests, which means that they are traveling. They have made the G21 and G10 versions of these GPUs, which includes both the mid-tier as well as the high-tier version. So you're thinking the replacements for the A770 and the A580. So something like the B770 and the B580 is what we're looking at in terms of what's being procured in the shipping manifest. This has appeared in an Intel roadmap before, so these are not just made-up Intel GPUs, and it's not quite clear when the launch is going to happen. Intel employees have been saying on record that software development's happening. happening. It's being worked on. Intel themselves has said that a lot of their engineers have moved on from the physical hardware of Battlemage, and now they're actually working on Celestial. So they're moving forward, but it's not quite clear when, if we're going to get it. October is going to be the 2-year anniversary of when the A770 officially launched, but that released in a staggered implementation to where most people couldn't get it until halfway through 2023. And it's also not quite clear what the performance level is. We have had some leaked benchmarks that show that it should be more performant. Not clear how much. If it's at the same price point, looking at $300 for something that competes with an RTX, I don't even know, because the RTX 4060 costs about $300. You would have to surpass that in order for Intel to have any sort of ground to hold. Maybe like an RTX 4070, 4070 Ti level performance at $300 with the hanky janky nonsense that you have to deal with Intel software right now. That could be a good incentive. I'm curious, not hopes, right? Like, not what are you hoping the Battlemage GPUs perform like, because I hope for a 4090 at $200, right? That it's irrelevant. What do you think is realistic for Intel to come out with here? Where are you expecting Battlemage to actually place in a realistic market? Let me know down below in the comments. While I review some of your comments from our video where we talked about YouTube taking down the channel, I didn't really release hot news last week, so I'm not going to react to that. But I did want to first start off by saying thank you to everybody who purchased Rare Brew Coffee using the code SAVEUFDTECH. It was our largest day ever when this video came out. We broke our launch day record as in terms of sales and revenue, so it was fantastic to see that happen. We sold out of coffee. I was not expecting to sell a ton of coffee last week, so anybody who's placed an order since like Friday, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer for us to get our new coffee stock in, because we have it on a weekly delivery process to make sure that everything's roasted fresh and is delicious when it arrives to you. And the code SAVEUFDTECH, which is our largest sale ever at 13% off, is good until midnight Eastern tomorrow. So you have one more day to get the best sale we've given on Rare Brew Coffee at the current moment in case you want to. But just know if you buy it right now, even if you get it on sale, it's going to take me a little bit to get it shipped out to you. But let's review some of the other ones. We got Anderman saying, hey, that's me who's video you have summarized in your short talking about the AI Windows 95 key, saying, guess what? It has also been taken down to that harmful and dangerous policy a few months back. YouTube has also failed to reinstate it, and it's very frustrating, considering that's the first video of mine that made it into the mainstream media. It would be great if you could help reinstating it somehow, if you have ties with someone YouTube cares about. Nope, I unfortunately don't, and that's the reaction that I gave to Enderman, was just that I was powerless to stop them from striking my video, and I was also powerless to get them to reinstate it. I think the only reason I can guess that the video got reinstated was because I tweeted about it incessantly, and there was a few larger creators who kind of agreed with me on it. Like, that's as good of a reason as I can guess, but they told me multiple times, hey, even though you've appealed this, even though you've already complained on Twitter, we're not undoing it. They told me twice on Twitter that they weren't going to undo it. So the fact that they, after an extra day, then did it, I don't know what's going on. I'm really sorry that this happened to you, Enderman, and I'm also really sorry it happened to us. It's nonsense all around. But I have no way of fixing it. Which we got Aaron saying, ironically, this is your first video that's appeared in my recommended feed in a long time. I do want to address that part for a second. I also want to address the second part, but I saw a lot of comments where people were like, oh, you've been shadow banned from YouTube because this is the first video of yours I've seen in a long time. I don't believe that that's true. UFD Tech is not shadow banned in most ways. The reason you're not getting served our videos is because you don't watch them as often as you think you do, and then YouTube recognizes that behavior, and if you're not clicking regularly, well, then you're not getting served the video. It's just algorithmically driven behavior, and that's on me and our team as content creators to serve up better content that you want to click on, and then we'll start appearing in your feed a little bit more often. It happens every single time we have a video that goes viral for us. You know, we get 100, 200, 300,000 views. Well, then the hot news that comes out after it gets more views because people actively engage with our content, but then they'll go back to being like, oh, I don't really care about this hot news thing, so I'm not going to click on it. So it's again on us to make that happen. Moving on, Aaron says, I understand why you want to delete this, but I'd encourage you not to because it sheds a light on arbitrary policies that aren't enforced correctly, and it can serve as education and inspiration for other creators, particularly smaller ones who suffer similar punishment and don't know how to handle it. I unfortunately don't think that I'm the martyr to do that. I don't think that with everything that I personally have riding on my company, I'm not willing to be the one who gets to be the example to see how unjust policies are enforced. I can disagree with them and I can fight them when they happen, but I don't want to risk it for my channel. If YouTube says, hey, don't cover weird ChatGPT stuff, I'm not going to cover it. It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong in my opinion. I'm on their platform, and if they want to choose to enforce that stupid rule, then I will abide by that stupid rule. I'm not going to be the one who says, ah, screw YouTube. It's just not what I want to be doing with my time. It's not what I want to be doing with my company's time. I want to be making videos that I enjoy making, like tech news. I like keeping up on this stuff, keeping my mind fresh, sharing it with you all. And I like making computer hardware videos. And as long as YouTube will let me do that, I'm going to continue to do it. Or maybe this is me retiring. I don't know. Should I make one of those videos? I'm stepping back from YouTube. Goodbye.